Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
I had to play Christina Aguilera on Today FM and Fighter for our next guest, who proves himself to be one hell of a fighter. Look, you might know him as, you know, Peter Stringer, Munster and Ireland rugby legend. He's not Peter Stringer. He's number seven.
Are you number seven or number five?
Number seven, yes.
What's on your jacket?
Number five.
Crossing Ladman, yeah?
Yes, yes.
So it's not as good as you think?
No, yes.
No matter what we've done in our lives, we always have something to learn.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
That is Peter Stringer getting his proper comeuppance on the brand new TV show Ultimate Hell Week. It's a new season. It's on our tellies at the moment. And Ireland and Munster rugby legend Peter Stringer is in studio to tell us about this week. What a show. Like, what a show. And for anyone who doesn't know, can you describe it for people who may not have seen? What is Ultimate Hell Week?
Oh, it's exactly as the title suggests, lads. It's genuinely one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life.
Special forces training. This is what these guys go through.
They go through this. They go through this, an intense 4 or 5 week period like we went through. And then they have their training for another 9 or 10 months after that. But this is the real deal. We were unaware really of cameras being around. There were cameras fixed to the walls, but there was no, you know, cut, let's do this bit again. We weren't aware of any production around. These guys had full control. The DS guys had full control of everything that went on.
What does DS stand for?
So directing staff.
Directing staff, okay.
Oh, damn,
so
I thought it was drill sergeant.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not.
So
yeah.
You just have to say, damn. Yes, DS, no, DS. You can't look them in the eye. The whole point of this is to break you down. And they don't care if you're, you know, about what you did in Cardiff. You know, they don't care about the Grand Slams.
It's a long way from Cardiff, I can tell you that.
But they're there to, they strip you of your name, of your identity, and they seem to get a lot of joy out of that, by the way. And the idea is that they just break your will, essentially, so that you conform and you work as a unit. Is that the idea?
Yeah, they challenge everything about you. You saw from that first episode. You know, they don't care where you come from, what your background is, how successful you've been, or what you've done in life. Once they've got you in their zone, they will try and strip you down and just break you mentally. The mental side of it was the challenging part, because you needed to be on it 24 hours a day. There was no moment where you could relax. I'd say one shower, I'd went to the bathroom, I'd say once. You guys were dehydrated for a few days, because if your water bottles weren't to the very, very top and they checked, you'd get a water bottle
all over
the
head.
So people weren't drinking water at the fear of being caught out. So it's just like, it's complete madness.
I thought it was kind of, I don't know, was it unfair or was it just like a bit of respect that they immediately picked you out and said, let's make Stringer the kind of, I don't know what you call him, the captain of the team or whatever. And the reason that they seemed to do that was because they knew you'd be a leader, because obviously of your career and what you'd done and how you'd behaved as a rugby player. And they were like, right, let's put him in there. But then, like, you know, they were very quickly, they went, well, now that we have him, let's just abuse him. So like things like, they were like, move the gun up the hill. And they were like, you're in charge. And you're looking at them going, okay. And then you're doing your best, which is like helping the lads. And they're looking at them going, you shouldn't be helping them. You should be overseeing the whole thing.
But that's, you know, the thing. You're always questioning, again, with the rain jack as well. Do you go out and, you know, even though they didn't say wear a rain jacket, it's pissing rain outside, you come up with like the initiative that, okay, let's wear the rain jackets. But like, if you hadn't worn them, they would have gone the other way.
Yeah.
But all of this, I had 17 other people. I was thrown in like to try and orchestrate everything, try and direct people I didn't even know. We hadn't even met each other, trying to figure out tasks. And people were asking me, can you ask them? I don't have a pencil in my pack. And I'm listening, I have other things to worry about here in these situations.
But one thing that was very interesting, actually, obviously, when I looked, everyone felt so sorry for you, because you're like, you don't want that supervisory role over a bunch of people who don't know what they're doing when you don't know what you're doing. You know, so good. It was obviously great television. Hard for you. But like, one interesting thing that I noticed, that at one point you were asked to do a task, you got completely stuck in and started moving stuff around instead of sort of organizing people that you were meant to do. And that would be very different to what you would be used to. You know, everything that you've learned is, lads, everybody mucks in, everyone pulls their weight, and I'm not going to be standing back shouting orders. But actually, it works in reverse in that kind of a military unit, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And again, when they gave me that task to do, my first instinct, like you said, was, okay, we're all in this together. We get stuck in an extra set of hands, an extra set of legs. We're going to get this up to the top of the hill a little bit quicker. So for me, I look looking back on it now, and you learn as the experience yeah. goes on. And, you know, you want to be able to take that position where you're able to oversee things. And look, I didn't feel comfortable standing back with my arms folded and telling everyone else what to do. It just didn't sit right with me. I went with my instinct. It obviously wasn't what they were looking for. But I'm sure no matter what I would have done in that situation, they would have found fault with it, tried to pick holes in it. But
Going in, did you and the other celebs involved, like, you've done the dancing shows, you've done reality TV is a thing, everyone kind of knows in and around how it's going to work, that you're going to have time on camera, off camera. Had you guys had any time together before you were put on boats and there was a helicopter with Ray Goggins, the main dude, flying over your head? I mean, were you even, like, did you even meet up the night before and stay in a hotel?
We met up the night before, but again, during COVID, so we were literally isolated in our own room as individuals. So we got a wake-up call at 4 o'clock the next morning to be on this blacked-out bus, didn't know where we were going. You know, introducing yourself to everybody else, nice to meet you, we're in this together, not sure who we are in terms of our backgrounds and our personalities, characters, leadership qualities, all of these things. So again, it was just, we had that moment where it's a team effort, but a very much an individual thing mentally to get yourself ready for these things. You got to buy in as a team, and you didn't have a moment really to sit down, get to know anybody, because you were inside in the water, you know, down in Roberts Cove before you knew it, before the sun even was coming up.
Well, that's it. You arrive in on a speedboat, then the helicopters come flying in with the bosses looking down at you. And then you're thrown into the water. You arrive at this, looks like an abandoned barracks. And there's vicious dogs on leads being restrained as you guys are made run up and down 2,000 steps and your legs are turning to jelly. You also had to jump out of a helicopter into the sea, which, like, obviously a flying helicopter, jump down into the sea and then swim to safety. I mean, of all the tasks, what was the hardest that you found?
When they named me as the orderly dog, which is the person in charge, I couldn't get my life jacket off. I couldn't get my runners back on. I was running with my heels hanging out over the backs of my shoes. So I was a complete shambles, and everybody else was the same. Kind of armbands falling off, clothes, everything was all over the place. For me, I enjoyed, once the task started, I enjoyed that because mentally I was in it. That was something to do. We were up steps or we're jumping out of a helicopter. That was my time to be able to do what I can do.
And I'm guessing this is your old rugby training, you know, muscle memory kicking in. Okay, task, let's do it.
Let's just do it. Yeah. I didn't want to be in charge of 17 people to tell them what to do.
Thinking.
I just wanted to crack on, do it myself,
yeah,
get on with things, and not have to worry about, am I wearing the right jacket? Am I wearing the right
socks? That was the clip at the start there, because everyone is just reduced to a number. So, yeah, like, you're not Peter Stringer anymore. Yeah. You're just number 7. But you had your number 7 armband, but you had a number 5 jacket on, and which is just a no-no.
But the whole thing, there was a pile of jackets. So the clothes, it's just mayhem, right? Yeah. Clothes are drying in these rooms, and it's just socks, jackets, everything lying on the ground. And you, on your own clothes, you write in a little Tippex pen, your little number. And of course, they call me, they put a hood over my head. I had to grab a jacket quickly, put it on, and now all of a sudden, I am being slated. It's a big, big deal. It's just a nightmare. But
a lot of people on it said that because you're so frazzled and hassled and stressed out, that putting on your shoes suddenly seems like this massive ordeal. And I suppose, are they training you for, like, okay, a bomb has just gone off and you've got to get your you-know-what together really quickly?
Yeah.
Like, maybe if your ears are ringing and you've been thrown against a wall, like that happened Ray Goggins when he was, you know, in the line of duty, like, you need to be able to operate.
Yeah, and I was thinking as well, it was the first couple of nights going to bed, and I said, okay, I need to wear my shoes getting into my sleeping bag. I need to be dressed. I remember like going to school when I was a kid. I used to live across the road. Get out of bed at 5 to 9.
Dressed.
Get into my uniform the night before the odd night.
Dave's son did that the other day. I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm just getting ready for the morning. I was like, get your uniform.
Well, maybe he was onto something.
I tell you what,
special forces.
I just kind of project onto this, and I said the same to Stephanie. She was in the show on Friday. Stephanie Rose. She's listened back to the interview with her. It's amazing. But I said to her that I project myself into the situation, right? Apart from the fact that when they made you jog on the spot after getting out of the water, I would have been like, yes, I quit. I've been jogging on the spot for 4 minutes. I can't do it. Like, that would have been me gone. But apart from that, I just think about the shoes thing. Currently today, I'm wearing Nike self-lacing shoes, which only work with voice on my phone. So I'd imagine like Ray shouting at me, go, get your shoes on. Sorry, just 1 sec. My Siri can't connect to my shoes. Just give us a sec.
Have you the Wi-Fi password here, guys?
Yeah, exactly. What's the Wi-Fi password in the barracks? I'd be kicked out within 8 seconds.
But again, I was doing the same thing watching the show, and I was saying, what would I be like? And there's one contestant on it, and she keeps smirking and giggling, and that's what I do. Like, bring me to a funeral, laughing my head off.
That would be Valerie, yeah.
And
yeah.
I guess it's a nervous thing. Some people, you know, I don't know, go really serious, go introverted, whatever. My thing is, I start smiling. And the worse the situation, the more I will smile in your face.
I saw one of the DS's staring him down, tell him not to smile.
Yeah. I would have just spent the entire hell week just in the press-up position with something balanced on my head or something.
You would have come out of there in serious shape.
Now, you can't share with us, obviously, any spoilers. We don't want any spoilers. We want to watch it. It's an absolutely amazing TV show. But in terms of, like, you know, how it went for you, do you feel different as a person afterwards? After, now that you've come out the other side of it, obviously we don't even need to know when it was shot,
look, there were moments, I said already, in terms of a lot of it was down to teamwork, how you operate as a unit and you know, you're carrying things and it's all about that communication. But again, that mental side of it, when you do something as an individual, probably the first thing that I've done where, you know, there's things you'd love to go in and do things differently, you know what I mean? But in terms of, as an individual, you know, having to kind of put yourself in situations and positions mentally that you would never, ever be in again. And, you know, you try and train for these things as well, but you just can't. You can't put yourself in a situation where, you know, you can do the fitness side of things, but mentally involved with water and cold water and underneath and, like, claustrophobia stuff. It's just, you don't practice these things in normal day-to-day life. So, yeah, coming out of it, you know, definitely to get the opportunity to do that and know that you can kind of get through certain elements.
Do you think you have what it takes if they said, okay, let's take it to the next level. Let's go full DEFCON 5.
At the end of the show.
There you go. Someone says, lads, I was shouting at the telly, don't put on the rain jackets, Peter. Lads, there's fit and there's army fit. It's as much mental. And someone says, I'd pay good money to see Dave in Ultimate Hell Week with his lap blanket. That's the other thing. I'd be sitting there with a tucking blankets around my lap going, now, Ray, what are we doing next?
Dave, you've experienced Ultimate Hell Week. Remember when your Instagram got hacked?
Oh my God.
That was the unhappiest I've ever seen you.
Terrified I was. It was worse than anything Peter's Ringer went through.
One thing we also learned is that, my God, you're in good shape. Like, you still got the washboard stomach, and I was thinking, my God, that, like, if I was on that show, like, there's nothing, it's not even flattering light. You're showing it all. The first thing is, get down to your underpants and stand there against the wall.
Yeah, well, like, I knew going in that, like, I'm someone, I do live with regrets, and if I didn't prepare physically properly for it, then I would seriously have regrets if I didn't.
Did the people who weren't as physically fit as you struggle more?
There were elements, and the thing is, I've watched the first two seasons of this, and you see people really, really fit, strong, and you think, oh, she is a potential winner of this show. But then I saw someone who I thought was a guaranteed winner in season one or two, I can't remember, and couldn't, like, lie in this piping and failed on a claustrophobia test. You just never know what's going to get someone.
It's only one part of it, isn't it? The physical fitness.
Absolutely, it is. And there are different challenges with water and kind of holding your head underwater and different confined spaces, darkness and stuff. So it's just, there are elements that you don't know what could potentially get you because you've never been in those situations.
And what was your relationship at the end with your DSs? Like, obviously they've been shouting in your face for a week. Do you see them as humans after that? Do you have more respect for them?
Absolutely. I've met up with Ray a few times, you know, since the show, and we've all met kind of in a kind of a wrap up party as well. Mm. So it's been, yeah, look, these incredible characters, what these guys have been through, and I suppose they can't tell you 90% of their lives of what they've been doing. But
because we had him in studio, he's the nicest guy in the world. Like, yeah, he literally could
don't,
not meet.
Don't be fooled.
I'm terrified of him now.
Yeah, exactly.
So Matelio was like, oh my god, that guy's he's a liar.
Peter Stringer, thank you so much for taking part in Ultimate Hell Week, because it is such amazing television. 9:35 Wednesdays, you can catch it. Do not miss. If you haven't seen episode one, go back and watch it. It's brilliant. Thanks for coming in. And
cheers,
thanks for doing it.
Thank you very much.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m.